This morning, as Trandon just prayed, we are continuing where we started last week. We're in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1. We're going to spend all of this, the rest of the winter and through the spring, walking through the first 11 chapters here of Genesis. And I'm so excited about this time we're spending as we're seeing, especially this week, last week, and through next week, specifically the creation account, specifically of how God created the heavens and the earth and everything in it, including us. Last week, we only covered the very beginning, the first two verses. But in that, we saw that there's this amazing character and power of God in creation, right? And the big question that we handled last week was that as we approach Genesis, as we approach all of the Bible, the first question that we have to address is, do we believe God is who he says he is? If the answer is yes, then we understand all of this through the lens of Scripture. We understand who God is by who he says he is, by the way he acts. We understand his power and his sovereignty and his control. But if we, in our heart, can't truly say we believe God is who he says he is, then it becomes a lot harder to reconcile creation and sin and brokenness and pain and suffering and all these things that happen in the world. So today, we're going to read most of chapter 1 here. We're going to read through day 1 through the first half, the first act of day 6, all right? And so, if you're familiar with the story, that's going to get us right up until just before man is created. But we're going to save that for next week. So, let's jump in, Genesis 1, starting in verse 3. But I'll go ahead and read from verse 1 just to give us that context. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. There was an evening, and there was a morning, one day. Then God said, 'Let there be an expanse between the waters, separating water from water.' God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above the expanse, and it was so. God called the expanse sky. Evening came, and then morning, the second day. Then God said, 'Let the water under the sky be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear.' And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the water he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, 'Let the earth produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds.' And it was so. The earth produced vegetation, seed-bearing plants according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Evening came, and then morning, the third day. Then God said, 'Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night. They will serve as signs for seasons and for days and years. They will be lights in the expanse of the sky to provide light on the earth.' And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule over the day and the lesser light to rule over the night, as well as the stars. God placed them in the expanse of the sky to provide light on the earth, to rule the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. Evening came, and then morning, the fourth day. Then God said, 'Let the waters swarm with living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky.' So God created the large sea creatures and every living creature that moves and swarms in the water according to their kinds. He also created every winged creature according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. God blessed them, "Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the waters of the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." Evening came, and then morning, the fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that crawl, and the wildlife of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. So God made the wildlife of the earth according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that crawl on the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. This morning, as we look at this, I want us to understand very clearly that what we're seeing here is a picture of the character of God. What we're seeing here is the hand of God. We're seeing, as we remember last week, we talked specifically about, in the very first sentence here, the subject is God. It's "in the beginning God created." It's all about God. He is the subject. He is the subject of all of the Bible. It is a story about God. It is not a story centered on humans. It is a story centered on God and His redemptive work in the life of humans whom He loves. But it is about God. He is the subject. He is the subject of our praise. He is the subject of creation. And as we see this today, there's three specific things that I want us to understand, and we're going to draw these things from these three phrases that we see very often in this chapter. The first phrase that we see the most in this chapter is the words, "then God said," all right? We see this 10 times, if you count through the end in the creation of man, we see God speaking into existence 10 times. And from this, what I want us to understand clearly is that God is sovereign. And this word "sovereign," meaning that God is totally in control, that God is powerful over all creation, over everything. He has His hand on it. And as we understand that, we see how all these things come to happen. But there's a phrase that goes right with that one. All right? Did you catch it? He would speak something into existence, and then it would say, "and it was so." And it was so. I really like that. It's so matter of fact, right? It says, God said there would be birds and sea creatures, and it was so, right? We like to think we're in control, right? And if we're honest with ourselves, we probably all have had the dream, and maybe of the, you know, if there was a judge's gavel that just applied to all situations in life, we'd be good with it, right? We could just hit the table, and we're good. We're in control. We have authority. We can decree what is going to happen. But the thing is, we are not in control. We have zero control. And the truth of all of this is that we can't appreciate creation without appreciating that God spoke it into existence. That it is all by His control, that He is sovereign over it all. Let's recap what we just saw in these days. Day one, see the heavens and the earth. We see light and day and night. Day two, we see sky that is separating the waters. We see in day three, the land and the seas and vegetation. We see in day four, the sun and the moon and the stars. In day five, we see sea creatures and birds. In day six, we see land animals, and we will see humans that we'll talk about next week. And next week, we'll also see day seven, where God rests. There's one puzzling item in here, though. As we look at the order, as we look at the things in the days they were created, we see day one, verse 3. Then God said, let there be light. Then we see not till day 4 that he creates the sun. And that can be confusing, right? And there could be a number of possible interpretations of this. But here's what I believe most powerfully that this is communicating to us right here, is that light first comes directly from God himself. It's from God himself. Psalm 104 verse 2 says he wraps himself in light as if it were a robe. As if it were a robe spreading out the sky like a canopy. In 2 Corinthians 4 verses 1 through 6, listen to what Paul writes here. He says, therefore, since we have this ministry because we were shown mercy, we do not give up. Instead, we have renounced secret and shameful things, not acting deceitfully or distorting the word of God, but commending ourselves before God to everyone's conscience by an open display of the truth. But if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we are not proclaiming ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus is light in the darkness. He is our hope in our life. He is our salvation. And we understand clearly that God is light. And it is so fitting to see here that the creation of light is not dependent upon the natural realm. It is not dependent upon the creation of the sun, but it is from God himself. He is the light. He is sovereign. He is in total control. And if, like we said earlier, if we believe God is who he says he is, he says he is the light, says that Jesus is the light. And we're already before the fall here. As we saw last week, Jesus is the agent of creation, right? We see that God speaks it, initiates it, that Jesus carries it out, as we see described in John 1. And then we see that the Spirit is active in giving it life. Jesus is present in the beginning. Jesus is eternally with God. He is God. Jesus is the light. He's present all along. He is there. God is sovereign. He is in control. And when we believe him for who he is, for who he says he is, we can read the words, we can read the description of creation, and just be left in awe and wonder. The word wander implies that there's some mysteriousness to God, right? There are elements of God that we do not totally understand. We don't comprehend every bit of it. We don't understand everything of what he does. But we praise him as we see his goodness. We're going to see that specifically, his goodness, more in a moment. But we have to, as Christians, we have to stop and understand that he is the one in control. We have to understand that he is the one with all power, and that he is the one who has the power to speak creation out of nothing, to speak it into existence when there was nothing. The second thing we see here is that God gives order. God gives order. A phrase that we see in here a lot as well is this phrase, according to their kind. According to their kind. And from this, we want to understand something here, is that God is not a God of chaos. He's a God of order. And as we see it with this phrase, according to their kind. We see it even where he doesn't use that phrase, but he's given division to the day and the night and to the land and the seas. He is ordering his creation. He is giving it form. Okay, God is a God of order. And as we think about ourselves, there's like two kinds of people, right? There are people of order and there are people of chaos. And the surefire way to discover this, if they are an adult and have a car and they are responsible for the care of that car, is just to open the door and look inside, right? Or it maybe they're like trying to keep up an image still and they're disguising this. In that case, you have to get to their house and look in the door of their bedroom, right? And you can quickly tell if they're a person of order or of chaos, right? If you find, we had the episode of The Office on the other day where Michael's cleaning out his car and he has like 17 Filet-O-Fish wrappers, right? If you find like more than three of the same fast food wrapper in the car, they might be a person of chaos, all right? But when it comes to God, there is no confusion. Throughout the creation story, he is establishing definitions and divisions before we even get to the according to their kind statements. He's established day and night, evening and morning, a day. He's established the sky separating the water and the earth from the clouds, the water, which is the water above. He has established the land and the seas, the sun, the moon, the stars, the season, the days, the years. God is a God of order. No one debates the existence of day and night. Doesn't matter what your worldview is. Doesn't matter if you're a Christian, an atheist, somewhere in between, some other religion. Everyone understands that this is daytime. Even if it's cloudy, it's daytime, right? The sun will set. That's called nighttime, right? No one debates that there's these seasons called summer and fall and winter and spring. We understand these things. But people do debate the origin of these things. And as Christians, as we see here, we are understanding that God is the one who gives order to creation. God is the one who gives form to our world. It is all because of him. It is all directly of his action. As we remember last week, the question, do you believe God is who he says he is? And we keep coming back to that, because that's this first great challenge of the Bible, is do you believe him? Is if you have a little bit of doubt, then all of this stuff right here is really hard to believe. It's really hard to think that this is possible. It becomes much easier to say, you know, like, maybe this is just a description of God working, but science has told us all these specific ways that this has to happen because that's the way our human brains have understood it to happen. Which sounds silly, right? When we should crave knowledge, right? We should pursue deeper understanding of God's creation. But we do that with the worldview of who God is. We do that with a belief that he is who he says he is. And as we dig deeper and learn more and more of him, we learn more and more of the finite limits of our knowledge, right? And so any system that thinks they can define all of the things in a way that is different than what God has explicitly told us is flawed. Because if we believe God is who he says he is, he can and did speak it into existence. We see this in so many ways here as we look at the phrase here of according to their kind. We see it first in verse 12 as he's talking about the plants. He's got seed-bearing plants according to their kind. He's got trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kind. In this, he's created this, he's given them order, and that order is what allows them to reproduce, right? The seed. We see it again in verse 21, when God has created the large sea creatures and every living creature that's in the water according to their kinds. He's also created every winged creature according to its kind. Verse 24, he's created the livestock and the creatures that crawl and the wildlife of the earth according to their kinds. Verse 25, he's created the creatures that crawl on the ground, and all this is kind of recapped here again, according to their kinds. God gives order. Nature is created by God, and the natural order is God's design. Of understanding this, it's not just that God like spoke some things into existence and they just happened as they happened. He designed it all. Like, I don't know how. That's pretty big, right? But God designed all of it. God designed us. So we talked about last week that where I'd read where they had simulated, tried to, with these supercomputers, right? It took 83,000 of these supercomputer processes. It took those 40 minutes to simulate 1 second of brain activity, right? And I'm sure it was incomplete. It's amazing. God has done this. God has created everything. And as we'll see next week, it's hard not to just keep going there, right? But it's so set apart that we have to look at it with more time. But that in the creation of us, of humans, in His image, all of this is amazing. But He's building towards the climax here. God is good. God is gracious. God is worthy of our praise. My hope here, all right, my prayer is that all of us leave today with the greater worship of who God is. And we see this another way. The third way we want to see this today is that God's creation is good and blessed. This final recurring phrase that we see here is that it is this: God saw that it was good. God saw that it was good. There's a lot of ways that we can be struck by goodness, right? It can be simple things, right? Like our favorite meal coming fresh out of the oven, right? The goodness of it, the smell of it when we're walking up the stairs, right? That's good. It's good to appreciate goodness around us, right? The goodness of just of our family and those relationships. We can think of this. We can think of a groom seeing his bride coming down the aisle, all right? For me, I had to wait like 5 minutes because I thought she disappeared, but she finally came. She finally came, all right? And so there was great joy that she made it. We can think of the goodness as we just appreciate and look on the beauty of creation. We appreciate goodness as we think and meditate on the God who loves us. The God who loves us. And that not only did God create good things, He also blessed His creation. The first time we see this in the Bible is in verse 22. It says, God blessed them. And this is right after He has created the winged creatures, the sea creatures, everything that lives in the water. It says, God blessed them. And then here's the blessing. Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the waters of the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. God gives a blessing over them. This blessing is a recurring major theme that we will see all throughout the book of Genesis. It's a book about God's blessing. We'll see here shortly. It's also, there's this counterpart of curse, blessing and curse, as we fall into sin. But right now we're seeing God's blessing. We'll see it throughout as we see it applied to animals here, to mankind, to the Sabbath, to Adam, Noah, the patriarchs, and to the gift of children upon humans. All aspects of our lives here can be understood as expressions of the blessing of God. One of the commentators I was reading this week, he said this, which I thought was so helpful in our understanding of this. He said, where modern man talks of success, the Old Testament man talked of blessing. Where modern people talk of success, the people of the Bible, people of God in the Old Testament here spoke of blessing. Success is focused on us. Success is something we can control, right? We work harder. We try more. We'll be successful. Until it doesn't work. But blessing is a totally God-centered thing. We can't create blessing. We can't cook it up. We can't determine it with enough goodwill and hard work. It is by the hand of God. We will be blessed solely because God acted to bless us, and not apart from it. The good news here is that we see God's hand of blessing all throughout His scripture. We see it in creation, that God blessed them. We see it all throughout. We see it greatest in the gospel of our Lord Jesus. We see it in the fact that we were dead because of sin, but Jesus came to be the sinless sacrifice, the Redeemer, to take away our sins, to bless us with eternal life, to bless us by reuniting us into relationship with God. What an incredible blessing that is. God is good. And, you know, in all of this, there's so much, like, there's so many questions we could sit here and talk about. We could literally just take a sermon on each item that He created. Not even just each day, but each item. We could just dig into so many things here. And it's good to learn and to pursue and to study. But what I want us to take away, what I want us to understand first and foremost, is that God is sovereign. God is in total control. That God spoke it into existence. Everything and everyone that has ever existed. And that God is a God of order. That God gives order to the world around us. That things are the way they are, not by chance and happenstance, but for God's purpose. Even when we don't understand, even when we don't see the reason that it's that way, God is a God of order. And finally, that God's creation is good and blessed by God. Man, He is amazing. As we close out today, as we sing a final song, as we spend time praying individually, as we respond to His truth today, my greatest hope and prayer every Sunday that we gather is that we will be drawn to God's Spirit, drawn by God's Spirit deeper and deeper into worship of God alone. That we will be motivated by His love. That we will be left in worship. That sometimes the power of God and His Word will leave us without the words to say, but just awe of our God. The question for you today is this: how is God drawing you closer to Him in worship? I don't know that answer. I don't know what you're bringing into worship today? I think a lot of different things. I think we're in a lot of different places. I think we have a lot of struggles and hurts and pains and conflicts because of the sinful, broken world we live in. I know that if there's any of us that have not received salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, which he calls a free gift, that is the way that God is trying to draw closer to you. That is the way that God is inviting you to come to him. That is the first step of coming to him, is seeing your sins and by faith calling on Jesus for salvation. If you've done that, if you know Christ is Lord, are you worshiping him in awe and wonder as the Creator God? Are your attitudes and the way that you go about your daily life shaped by the understanding that God is Creator? That God is sovereign. That God is good. That he gives order. Are you walking in obedience wherever God leads? Let's pray together today. Lord Jesus, we love you and we praise you. Lord, for we are fearfully and wonderfully made by you. Lord, you are the God who created by your voice everything out of nothing. Lord, there is no worship to anyone or anything except you, Lord God. Lord, the mysteries of your creation are vast. And Lord, let that draw us more and more deeper in worship to you. In praise of you. Lord, thank you for your gospel. Thank you that you are the light in the darkness, our Redeemer. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for our salvation. Lord, we love you. We praise you. Lord, draw each of us deeper in worship to you. Lord, for anyone who is apart from you, who does not know you as Lord, that hears these words, Lord, I pray that you will convict them of their sins and draw them to salvation, that they will come to you by faith. Lord, for the believers hearing this, draw each of us deeper in devotion and worship and obedience to you. We love you, Lord Jesus. Amen.